Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 2 of the Potter Discussion. I'm your host, Oscar, and here on the Potter Discussion, we discuss some of Harry Potter's deepest and darkest theories, tidbits, and little Easter eggs you might have missed, and you probably did. It is Episode 2, and we have had many Episode 2, but this Episode 2 is going to be one of the best. The Veil. Explained. We've had so many theories on the veil so far, but we don't know what the veil actually is. We just know what it was used for and where it is, but that's pretty much it. So for today's theory, I'm going to be answering all of those questions. What is the veil? Why is it there and who made it? It's just going to be awesome. And there has been some great, great ideas out there so far, actually. And it wasn't from me, it was from you. So this is just going to be awesome because everyone who guessed was correct. And that is just something that is awesome that you are thinking about this just as much as me. So if you made a prediction, I'll have you know right now that you are right. But I have some extra stuff that you might know, might not know. So sticking around is definitely something that you could get a lot of value out of. Let's do it. The Veil Explained. The Veil in the Ministry of Magic is one of the most treasured but secretive pieces of magic ever created. It is an archway from life to death. Once you go through the Veil, you don't come out. We've seen the veil in action, and it really does get the job done. But what we never found out was, what are the origins of the veil? Who made it? Why is it there? Those are the questions we are going to be answering today. Let's do it. My ever-churning brain was in need of background of the veil itself after all those theories I did on it. The veil was shown as just a veil, something that kills. For the ministry? For the veil itself? How does a person get removed from life after going through? The only test person we have is, one, Sirius Black. What did he do? Well, he died, but he was already dead. Bellatrix hit Sirius with a killing curse before falling into the veil. The life inside of him was already in a state at which the veil turns it, so Sirius going through the veil does nothing apart from him leaving the world he was in. The veil is very much a part of the ministry's arsenal of tools, but we've never seen it in action other than Sirius. If the veil is under examination, too complicated for the ministry to make sense of, or just there, we may never know. But that's an interesting point. What does the ministry need or want the veil for? Did they put it there? Or was it just some other force at work? Let's find an answer. The veil moves a person from life to a state of death. Would the ministry use the veil as a punishment? It might have been used for just killing someone. The death sentence. In the Harry Potter wiki, the veil is defined as an enigmatic structure located in the Department of Mysteries. It seemed to be a manifestation of the barrier between the land of the living and the land of the dead. One could not travel freely between the two worlds, as it was a one-way trip. The link for that, the full article will be in the description. So, did you catch that? A manifestation of the barrier between the land of the living and the land of the dead? The article also states that the area in which the veil is located is called the death chamber. That can mean a lot of things. It may mean that is where people are sent through to death. It might also mean that the veil has a strange affiliation with both life and death. I think the latter, for two reasons. One, it has been said the unspeakable, the people who work in the Department of Mysteries, study the veil. If they made it, why study it? And two, the veil wasn't built in the ministry. the ministry was built around the veil. Let me explain. To start with reason one, you just have to think. If the unspeakable study the veil, that means they don't know much about it. They want to find out all the secrets it holds. And for number two, I don't have to say anything. The veil was the purpose for the location of the Ministry of Magic. And that gives me all of the information I need. The question all this buildup has been about, who made the veil? We know if it was old, powerful, has a strong connection of death and life, and doesn't work as intended. It's clear to me. Maybe not to you, but here is who made the veil. Cadmus Peverell. That should have cleared the fog. We all know Cadmus was in possession of the Resurrection Stone, which he gained from death. He gets the stone, fails to bring back his bride, and kills himself because of it. Is that all? After that first attempt, there would have had to have been another one. But maybe this time, a way for Cadmus to go where his bride was. Maybe a portal. Or a veil. And the story must be changed. Cadmus made the veil as an attempt to see his bride. But when he stepped through, he died, joining her forever. The whole point of killing himself in the first place was because he didn't want to live in a world without his bride. But in our version, Cadmus just goes to a place of death, not wanting to return. That's why the veil is a one-way passage. Cadmus never wanted to come back. So he made the veil a one-way ticket to death. There you have it. That is the theory, and I think the one reason this kind of all makes sense is because of the, you know, veil being built before the ministry. And that really changes everything, because now we know that the ministry wasn't like, ooh, veil, woo, let's make this veil and all of our problems will be solved. Now they know that we have seen the veil there in the ministry. So we think that the veil has been there ever since the ministry was. But now that we know that the veil was actually there before the ministry, that changes things. I mean, now we know that it's so, so old and very, very powerful. And the Deathly Hallows are basically the same thing. So a Deathly Hallows that has to do with death and coming back to life and going into death, the Resurrection Stone definitely makes a ton of sense. And another reason why this just makes so much sense is the strong affiliation with both life and with death. I think that definitely changes things, because having that connection to both worlds is something that makes the Resurrection Stone the Resurrection Stone. That's why it can do what it does. It brings things from death to life. So having both sides of the portal available is another reason why the veil couldn't work, because that is just too powerful, and that's why the Resurrection Stone didn't work in the first place. The people in death didn't come back to life. No, they didn't. And the funny thing is, every time the Resurrection Stone has been used, it didn't go as planned. Harry only saw the people that he really loved, and then they were gone. And I know you're thinking, like, well, of course that worked. He saw them, but they weren't even there. They were just pieces of fog in the woods. And I don't know, maybe they were trying to kill him. That's a different theory. But the Resurrection Stone is just something that is too powerful to exist. And it is one of the most powerful objects in the world. I dare say one of the most powerful Deathly Hallows. And I know it's seen as the Elder Wand, that is the most powerful Deathly Hallow. But if you really think about it, not being able to die is crazy. And that is something that the Elder Wand could never give you. You can still lose a duel, but once you lose your life, you can't get that back. But with the Resurrection Stone, you can. So the laws of magic just said no. Sorry, the veil just can't exist. That just having it one step through the veil can bring you to death, and then one step back can bring you to life. It just can't work that way. So having the step through the veil being the only passage might be another reason why the veil is so closely studied. And that's why they couldn't figure it out in the first place, because the ministry has been around for thousands of years. So having the veil there for so long and not being able to figure it out, it's just another reason why they couldn't. Because they couldn't just go through and say, oh, great, this is the veil. I am so happy now, you know? And then just go back, and it's like a Dudley situation where they find that the glass is there now and they can't get out. So they might have tried, and then no one came back, and they were like, all right, we should probably shut this down. So it's just the basic logic of having a two-way passage of life, death, life, death, life, death. It's just too good. It's just too impossibly fortunate for someone to find that it couldn't exist. And that's probably another, counter towards why the veil functions as it does. You go through and you die. And we saw how Sirius was dead before he went into the veil. So because he was double dead, that may have been seen by the ministry as something of a warning, almost, that it's like saying, bam, 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 you shouldn't go here, you'll die, you can't go in the veil. And that just made it all more mysterious, secretive, and just something that the ministry could never figure out in 1 million years. And that's why they were like, close up shop, we can't continue this is too dangerous. And another thing I wanted to mention was the life and death aspect of it, and how the veil was there before the ministry. Cadmus would have been thinking about seeing his bride in death. So he wasn't thinking, all right, now I'll bring her back to life, but no, I can't. I'm living in a world. So it was somewhat of a lose-lose-lose for Cadmus. He would go in the veil. So all the scenarios is he doesn't go in the veil. He's living in a world. It's just basically two worlds. All right, scratch that. Two worlds. Death, life. You don't have to think about them like that. So Cadmus is in world one, bride in world number two. Cadmus makes a bridge between world number one and world number two, and he goes through. Now, both people are in world number two, but Cadmus is dead. Dead is typically a bad thing, so he doesn't want that. So he brings his bride back. That's scenario number two. Bride and Cadmus in world one. But bride can't stay in world one because bride is dead. So bride, go back to death. Cadmus now sad. Both in separate worlds. That's scenario number three. And Cadmus is so sad that he can't do anything. So it's just a lose, 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 and really lose, because us as the viewer really wanted to see Cadmus go to death. But still, it's just a situation where Cadmus, while making the veil, might have been thinking not about going back to life, but about staying in death. So having that kind of relationship with the veil as not wanting to come back might have been another reason why he stayed in death, and why the veil only functions as a one-way ticket, because Cadmus wanted to stay back. So if he never intended to come back to the land of the living, staying in the land of the dead might have been what the veil was intended to do, and that's how it stayed. It was in the creation phase, it was kind of like wet cement, and Cadmus could have shaped it. So he accidentally shaped it. Well, I shouldn't say accidentally, but he subconsciously shaped it in a way that wouldn't allow for him to come back. And he might have, on the outside, said I kind of want to go back, you know, I forgot my grocery list or whatever. And he couldn't, because he made the veil like something that he couldn't come back from in the first place. And one final thing I wanted to mention before we close up shop is the how death took Cadmus for his own. I don't think death has rule over life, which should be pretty obvious, but it seemed as if death could do basically anything, And then once they were in the Death Realm, then he could do whatever he wanted. But Death really has no control over what happens in life. So he has to create, you know, little blips in Death. And that's how he can create little blips in life. So he can't just go around and kill a bunch of people in life to grow his realm. He has to cause that by doing things to other people except kill them. So that's what he did to the three brothers. He was so mad that they didn't die, so he decided, I'm going to kill them without actually killing them. So he gave them the three items that would most, like, get them killed the fastest. Of course, he didn't quite calculate that the third brother would be, like, a genius and keep the invisibility cloak, but I think giving the resurrection stone to Cadmus was another way that he knew his bride was dead. So Cadmus tried to bring bride back to life, and Death knew that Cadmus would try to really, really try to get into the Death Realm and really stay there. So Death knew that giving Cadmus the stone would do just that. And when Cadmus finally did go to the realm of Death, he had to stay there. And that's another reason why the Resurrection Stone can't work, because it is just a law of complete it's just unnature. And Death made the Resurrection Stone in the first place. So he had control over what it did, and he had control over Cadmus when he went into the realm of the dead, keeping him there forever. But that is the episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or theories that you would like to hear on the podcast, you can definitely send me an email. My email is at thepotterdiscussion. That is at thepotterdiscussion. If you could just scroll down, tap that 5 stars, and even write a review, you can make my day. And in that 0.3 seconds, you help me out more than you could ever know. Also, make sure you subscribe so you never miss another episode in season 5. Also, if you want my ultimate guide to a perfect Harry Potter marathon, where I give you my 2 favorite Easter eggs from every book or movie to make your watching experience just a little bit better, and be joined into the free funnel of monthly newsletters where I deep dive on 2 of my favorite theories of that month, all for free, click that first link in the show notes below, enter your first name and email, and you are in. As always, thank you for listening. Use this information to your advantage, and I'll see you later.